Welcome to another episode of Rough Talk VR, a weekly podcast with in-depth game reviews, exclusive developer interviews, and the latest MetaQuest and virtual reality news. We join our hosts, the father-son team of D. Scruffles and Stratus today, as they spend another episode breaking down and discussing the world of virtual reality.
Hey, welcome to this episode of Rough Talk VR. We got one that I think is going to be a load of fun. You know, today we're joined with Joe Halper. He's the creative director and the founder of the studio behind an upcoming game, Nope Challenge. The studio, of course, is Happy Manic. You know, we have Joe on. We were just chatting with him a little bit before the podcast started, and it's good energy. I think that this is going to be a fun one.
I don't think this is going to be a struggle at all.
Well, and when you hear what Nope Challenge is, you know, you go, well, the people behind this, they have to be kind of up to something. They got to be a little crazy because this game is
twisted and fun.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Twisted and fun. So before I go too crazy, Joe, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit better than I can? Tell our listeners who you are and maybe even what Nope Challenge is.
Yeah. So again, it's Joe. Happy Manic is my studio. I'm located in Raleigh, North Carolina. Very small team, really tiny team of a handful of people, and we've been developing this title called Nope Challenge. And Nope Challenge, which is releasing on Thursday, April 25th, it's a game about confronting phobias, basically challenging yourself with these phobias. And you think like heights, clowns, spiders. Those are some of the headliners that I say are in the game, but there's a twist to help you along with these challenges. There's a nope button. And that nope button's on you at all times. So when you're going through these various challenges, you can hit that at any time. And when you hit that, what it does is it takes you to what's called a breather space. And that breather space is what it sounds like. It's a spot that you can just like rest, relax, reflect, recharge, and really bring your heart rate down because we have various challenges that will make a lot of people's heart rates explode. And then when you're all better, you're all ready to go, because there's things that preoccupy there purposely. Then you can then go right back to the thing you noped out from, or you just choose a different challenge to go into with various phobias. And the other thing that we're doing is the game, besides the nope button, besides the breather space that allows you to like manage this, we also trying to make it as approachable as possible to as many people. So there's intensity categories. So you have the light, and then you have the moderate, and you have the extreme. And what you'll start seeing, like when the game goes out, everybody's posting, like jumping full on into the extreme. You know, just like, and we've been, I gave it out to a handful of people, and we're already seeing like people like losing it and noping out and just like breathing in the breather space. But it's also the light is if you're like new to VR, or you're new, or you think you might have one of these challenges or one of these phobias, or you're just not even sure. We always suggest going to the light, you know, going to the light, and the light challenges are basically ones that are hand-holdy, I call it. Like they're the bunny slopes, they're the little wave, and it's basically where you can tread water and you can use that nope button if it gets too intense, and it's a little scripted, a little exposure curve. And then that way you can approach things slowly and as many times as you want to like get past that challenge you might have with that particular phobia. And then, and the headliners that I talked about, there's the main ones with the heights, the spiders, and the clowns. But, you know, in the game, there's triggers to over 40 recognized phobias that are spread throughout. So it's like, it's a minefield of phobias, and everybody's different as far as how they react to this, to the game and to these various phobias. And I was talking about the light, you know, just basically going with the light. But on the other end of the spectrum, which is going from the moderate to the extreme can be very extreme for a lot of people. And we've been seeing that. And we've had reactions that have been like in like crazy. The extreme goes more into a lot of the AI that we got involved. Not the AI that everybody's talking about now with the OpenAI and all that. I'm talking like old school AI that where we have clowns, robotic clowns that are out to, you know, kill you, play with you. And we have spiders that are not just like, oh, spider, you know, these spiders have all these variables that change to make it as dynamic as possible. And, you know, that creates a diverse and a dynamic environment that makes things to be very heightened, especially in immersive VR. And that has resulted in things where, you know, it's basically the game is playing with, what I'm doing is playing with people's limbic systems. It's your fight, flight, freeze. And it's a beautiful thing that your brain does to prepare you for something that's going to be terrifying to you, or preparing for something that is dangerous or you perceive as dangerous to you. So not only is this game playing with it, but there's the tools that are inside it that let you play with it. And that's the challenge. It's like, if you have a phobia and you go in this, you're like, I'm not sure. We can nope out. You can breathe. You can do intensity levels, the challenges. And, it's a magical thing to see somebody that is all of a sudden their brain, lizard brain's kicking in, and you're seeing this whole thing happen. And like a lot of people go like, ha ha ha, you know, it's like amazing to watch. But this game is different in the fact that I wanted there to be an out, a breathing spot for somebody that they can go to instead of throwing the headset off and say like, this is ridiculous. I want them to get to a place where they can actually surf that wave and like feel that sensation and have their whole sympathetic system kicking in and then pace themselves. And then they have their outs and people can still watch and it can still be amazing. And then they have a little wave, a big wave, and a monster wave with these intensity categories. So a lot of detail. I just wanted to explain a game. It's got a lot of mechanics. It's got a lot of things going on. I think that's what's cool too, is that when people, I'd like to talk about Don from Upload VR when I met him at GDC, and he was the first person that I was showing the game when I got there, and you know, things were so crazy. And I was like, how much time do you have? He's like, I got like 20 minutes. And I was like, you know about the game? He's like, yeah, like phobias and stuff. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, okay. And we got together and I showed it to him, and we were there for like an hour and a half to almost 2 hours. He's just like, oh my God. I was like, yeah. And it was amazing seeing his like hair raise. I'm like, yeah, I'm seeing you twitch, man. And it was pretty wild. I mean, I could talk about like all the things, like the unexpected and the expected, and just so many things developing this and all. It's a fun game.
Yeah. Well, I think we're about to see an onslaught of nude VR users being recorded.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like the same as Richie's Blank Experience.
Yeah. Oh no, this is going to go. Yeah. I think it'll go huge on the socials with
clips and stuff.
Because
like
you're not limited to just one thing. I mean, you have like, let's say each phobia has three different, and it's not a repeat of like just a harder version of the first.
No, unique.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a different.
And as good as it is for like me and you, it's when you're new to VR.
Oh my God.
It's different, dude.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing too. Like people such as yourselves, you have your, I call it VR legs. You've been around the block. You've played a lot of different games and you might venture off into the extreme. If you don't have any, you might have a phobia though, that makes you say like, you know what? I'm going to stick with the light, you know, and I'll see what that's like. And we've seen that already with somebody posted, and it was awesome to watch. Because this person is experienced with VR, because it's not a horror game. I don't like to call it a horror game, but it kind of is. It's like the horror that you experience. The way that phobias are just basically, there's like a baseline. And the way that phobias are is like an increased or a higher level of fear of a certain thing in life that is something that you've experienced, or it's hereditary, passed down to you. And the example that I constantly use is that, you know, you have little kids, you watch them in the trees and they're just climbing. You're like, oh my God, what the hell? Get the hell down from there. You know, what are you doing? And they're like, yeah, whatever. They're like jumping all over the place. And you're like, wow. And one little kid falls from the tree, busts his arm, busts his leg, bruises, whatever it may be. Well, then that child is going to grow up possibly with a phobia, because now the brain, what the brain does, it's amazing. It records that. You know, it's just basically, it's a memory. It's something that it remembered that your body got injured. So now, as you grow up, if that person now has a phobia, it's because of the experience that they had. And now the brain knows, and subconsciously, it just goes bink. It starts protecting you, and it starts engaging the things that are necessary to protect you with your fight, flight, and freeze. And then when that person, now they're grown up and it can manifest a little bit, now their heartbeat rises and their pupils dilate and they sweat a little more. And they're like, Jesus, you know, it's just like, I don't want to go near that edge. I don't want to do this, because they've had that, you know, the experience. And this kind of plays with that. But at the same time, there's the hereditary, where, if you can have, and I always use this example, if you have like two babies and the one baby, you take some spiders and you drop them on the baby's head. And that baby's like, blah, blah, blah. And they'll take the spider and stick it in its mouth. You know, it doesn't care. It's just like, it's a baby, right? But you have another baby, you show it a picture of a spider, it's going to flinch because it's been passed down to that baby, like hereditary, like a survival through his line, his or her line. And then, you know, it's just basically a hereditary protective thing. And, you know, there's all these elements that people have had experiences with things that they fear, and that fear is unique to each individual, and that individual will consider that to be a horror. And that's where it's like, it's not a horror game, it's a psychological game, but you might have a tendency to like get heightened or triggered by that one particular thing, like balloons. Like there's people that it's a recognized phobia of balloons because, you know, you squeeze them, you pop them. People might have had a triggered experience or experience when they're a kid with their brother or sister smashing in their face or something, who knows, but they see a balloon, they're like, and their brain goes click. And then the next thing you know, they're sweating and you're like, what's, you know, and then people might be like, what's going on? Why, you know, and they're terrified, but it's because of that experience that their brain has fought away and it's protecting them because they don't want to go through that again. And this game plays with that, but it also gives them the ability to nope out from that and basically to approach it in a way or jump right in, you know? So that's why the game, it's interesting to see how many people, like what type of people play, and the ones that say, like, even yourselves, it's like, I've had people that are hardcore horror people. And they get in and they scream like, you know, I had this one guy, he's like hardcore horror, and he's like, I love horror games, I love this, but he never did VR before. And I'm like, all right. I'm like, well, this isn't like really a horror game. And he's like, oh no, this is gonna be great. He was screaming. He's like, oh my God. He's like, I never experienced it. I'm like, yeah, well, a lot's going on right now. He's like, he wanted to get it, but he was just drenched in sweat. And he was more like triggered than others that were playing. But yeah, it's just it's wild because the way that I set it up is that so you could have your sister, your brother, your mother, your grandmother. I mean, it starts in the breather space, which is a beautiful island. You'd be like, look, grandma, it's like Florida, you know, it's beautiful. It's nice. And then they'd be like, oh, ah, you know, and they could explore and it's comfortable. And then after they get acclimated, it's like, let me try the light, you know, like I'm not afraid of spiders. Let me try that. I'm not afraid of heights. Let me try that. And that's the idea. It's like that bridge. And they always know they have the out. It's also, I could go on, just let me know if I'm going on too long.
Oh no, keep going.
Yeah. So the other thing is, what we've been seeing, and I've done, I have over 20, I forget how many years it's been, 25, 27 years, whatever experience with doing game simulation training. A lot of my time is spent in the games, like with building studios, managing studios and titles and all that. But I've also done applications that have to deal with cognitive and dealing with those types of things. And, you know, the interesting thing that you will see when people do this as like a challenge to themselves is they're going to say nope to the nope. So they'll go in there and they might even be brand new to VR, brand new, and they might have a serious phobia. And this is something I experienced, way back when I was doing a prototype for fun. They go in, they're terrified, they're screaming, and they're covered in sweat. Everything's happening. They're, you know, they're shaken and all, and they're not going to hit the button that they don't want to, because now they know that button's there. And it's like a hot pepper contest. And it's like, you see the people like on the hot ones and they know that milk is there, but they're like, no, I'm not going to drink that. I'm going to keep going. I hate, you know, I'm not good with heat, but I'm going to keep pushing myself. And it's a little bit similar with this because the heat that the person's having is like this fear that they have. And then you have that, not the milk, but the buttons there. And they know they can go to a comfy place, but they want to push themselves. And we even had that happen at GDC, which was amazing. There was this guy, Russell, right at the start of GDC. We just opened it up and we're all like in a frenzy trying to get things prepared at the booth. And, you know, that was just an amazing experience. But the one of the first guys that walked up, I was like, you know, trying to get in the groove, you know, and it's just like, hey, you want to try the game? And we had the banner up and he's like, yeah. He's like, what is it? And I'm like, well, it's called Nope Challenge. And I'm like, it's about phobias. He's like, oh, wow. He's like, I was like, you ever do VR before? He's like, no. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, do you have any fears? He's like, and I forget how we're going about. I was like, well, you haven't done VR before. I'm going to throw you into this and it's about spiders and it's going to be extreme. You okay with that? He's like, let's do this, you know? And he was all excited, but he didn't know what to expect. And we put him in it and I explained to him the whole thing about the game and the note button and just, you know, the breather space. And like, look, you have outs, you can hit this. And I even told people too, if it gets way too much, just take your headset off. If you even have to go there, that's fine. It just, all these options are there for you. And, you know, because you're going to feel something. And he's like, he's all excited. He's at GDC. Things are starting off. I'm like, cool. We record him. And it was so amazing to watch because he went through the full tilt. And you could see, like, he's screaming. He's like, what do I do? What do we do? We're like, you have to pick up the spiders. He's like, what? He's like freaking out. He's like, what are you talking about? And we're like, you have to pick up the spiders. He's like, and you can see him backing up. And if you watch his shoulders, you can see the sweat starting to go through his shirt. Then you can start seeing his legs buckle as he's backing up. So he's got the fight, flight, freeze, flop. Everything's going on. And he's screaming so loud that there was a news crew from China that was like five booths away. And like, we're all watching. And as we're watching this spectacle happen, a crowd's forming. And then a news crew flies around the edge. And this guy's with the camera. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? And this guy's still screaming and we're yelling at him like, you have the note button, hit the note button. Cause we could see that he's in like this complete, unbelievable, emotional and everything going on with in the limbic system. And he's like, nope, not yet. And we're like, that's it. It's happening. Like that's happening. And he just finally, he pushed it as far as he could. He tapped out. And he just like bent over and he was laughing and he's just like, that was, and we're like, yeah, I'm like, you really pushed. He's like, yeah. And he was laughing at whoever was there with him. Everybody's just laughing. And we had this crowd laughing. And then the guy's name was Joe on the camera. And he's just like, we heard it. And we had to come over and see what was happening. That was insane. I'm like, yeah, they're like, and they're sticking a microphone in my face. I'm like, hold on, you know? So so that is an example of what we're going to see. And I think that, and that was an extreme, but some people will feel that on the light versions because of how these phobias are. And, you know, he was new to VR and he was really cool about it. He was a really nice guy. And that was our kickoff to GDC. And after that was like 10:30. And that was the first day. And by 12 o'clock, there was word of mouth coming around. Everybody's like, hey, you know, it was this ride. It was this like, it was, and it's hard to advertise the range that is there because of course you could say like, oh, you're going to scream. But what I also need to try and do is convey that it's accessible. It's very accessible. And I have empathy for people that are trying to play VR. I want as many people to play VR as possible. And I know this is a very sensitive area because it's, you know, it's a psychology involved. It's psychological, but I'm trying to give all these outs so that they can, you know, get on that board and surf that intensity and, you know, learn about VR, but also cause it gets intense. It gets really intense, especially with the AI. And, we put a lot of time in that. We were inspired by, other games out there that I'm like, yeah, we need that. I want that. We're gonna put that in there. And we did, and it's just been remarkable to see what's going on. So I could go on and on and on. We had some funny things happen. Yeah.
I love it. And what was the inspiration for this game? You know, are you somebody that has phobias yourself? Is this something you've studied? You know, it seems like you know a lot about it, you know?
Yeah. I've actually studied a lot about it. Just to have as best understanding. I mean, at the time, so this goes back, you know, I've done the series games. I was a director at another company where we're doing a lot of things that were, you know, things that were in the healthcare, military, Department of Defense. You know, I work with anybody from a white coat to a suit to a military uniform, you know, and you figure out what are the things they need? And it's like a service-based situation, but we were doing things that were dealing with cognitive disabilities and all. And VR wasn't really coming about just yet. I did some things for DARPA, for Soldier Awareness, which was, you know, some proprietary stuff that was augmented reality, and we would engage adversaries, just situational awareness on the battlefield. And that was way back when. And that was really cool to be able to do that, to influence people that are physical and walking around. And it was neat to explore that. But I was also, the inspiration specifically for this title came about in a couple different ways. One was the VR like component, like being, you know, immersed and stuff like that. Oculus was, I don't even know if it was out yet, but Duke University had this Duke Immersive Virtual Environment. And that was a cave system. And the cave systems are computer-aided virtual environments. So that was a six-panel system where they have projectors on the outside, and it was top, bottom, and all the walls. And you put little booties on, you get into there, and you walk around. And what was really cool about that is they had these various experiences that you go through where they studied it. And this was back in 2009, I think it was. And they had the tracking on a device that you had. It was a controller, and it tracked that controller, and it tracked the person playing with the stereoscopic view. And it was very immersive. And then one of the scenarios they had was a kitchen. And what they did was they tried to stimulate people in that kitchen to kind of like heighten things over time. And I thought that was interesting because they want to see what this immersed virtual environment would have impact wise in this, you know, in this space. So they had a kitchen, and you'd open up the door to the oven. And when you do that, you could have other people in the space with you. And even though that they was not tracking them, they'd all back up. And that's doesn't exist, the door. But you could interact, grab it, and open it up. And that part with the grabbing, picking things up, opening cabinets and stuff like that. I'm like, Oculus, I'm not sure if it was out yet, but I saw that part. And that to me was the most intriguing. The fact that you could control, not being like a little thumb thing that you just like a deep, like a controller, game controller, but this was actually interacting. And to me, I knew that was really important for a frame of reference and also for a way to protect yourself and a way to interact. It meant so much. So Oculus was out, which was wild to see some of the things that were going on that. But what got me really excited was finding out that Valve was working on the Vive, you know, the early versions of that. So I was able to go to Steam Dev Days back in 2000. I keep getting the dates messed up. The first Steam Dev Days was, I think, 2014. And that's where they were showing examples of the room and the prototypes and stuff. And I was able to, you know, get in on that. You know, was able to be able to see like what was going on. So I was so excited. I'm like, that is something. Yeah. I'm like, that is cool. And I knew the potential of it, but at the GDC, I think 2015, they announced it and stuff like that. I was one of the first to be able to, you know, play inside the Vive with the examples that they had, the experiences. So they had like In the Blue, and they had the Aperture Labs where you do the arrow and shoot just to show that 6 degrees of the trackers and all. And, you know, every one of those was just like, wow, mind blowing, you know, just not just the fact that you're immersed and the high fidelity, but the fact that you can interact in certain ways, that to me was like, that was crazy. But this is where it's getting to the inspiration for this. there was another game that was called Skyworld by Vertigo Games. And Skyworld is basically like, there's a tabletop game, but it's happening in the sky. And the way that they show these exposures is it would just, you know, fade out and fade in, and you'd be at the next experience. And it was a nice way that they did this. It was a nice presentation, but it was a little bit of I was offset because I was walking around in the play space. I was moving up a little bit. You know, you lose your footing. When Skyworld came on, I was standing on the edge of the platform and looking down into the clouds. And that triggered my lizard brain, the whole trigger. It made me go, holy crap. And I just like that. And all of a sudden I started sweating, started shaking, and my whole body started reacting. And I'm like, oh my God. And I was going to fall. And then the guy from Valve put his hands on my shoulders. And he's like, Joe, you're okay. You're standing on concrete. You're in the conference area. And I'm like thinking like, holy crap. So I felt that full blown experience happen, that spike of my limbic system just doing its thing to protect me from falling. And I never really had a fear of heights. I was always cautious, but this made me like, I'm falling. I'm going to fall in the clouds. I'm done. And it was so quick. And after that happened, I'm like, that was awesome. I'm going to go after that. That is amazing. And you can get that somewhat from a 2D screen, but the immersion factor that was happening there, and it was a bit of a fluke, but that made me like, all right, I knew what was happening, but I want to explore more. So what I did was I was able to get one of the first dev kits of the Vive. And this was a hobby, because at the time I considered VR to be like, you know, nonprofit. I kept doing it nonprofit because it was so new and there wasn't really a market and there wasn't really a, and I had all these companies that I was doing contracts with. And, I had a lot of work that I was doing with other studios. And, so I did a prototype and I was using Unreal Engine. So my idea was like, all right, I'm going to create these phobias. You know, I'm just going to do a lot of things that are phobia centric. And I did. I created like spiders. You capture spiders. I first was looking at heights, but then I'm like, okay, well, you know, the heights is something cool, but I want to go a little bit more of like, what can really tap into people? What is most common? So then I started seeing spiders. I'm like, all right, well, I'm doing spiders and heights and elevators and all that crap. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'll do spiders, heights, and then clowns, and then dolls, and dead bodies, and needles, and infections, and then lightning, thunder, darkness, everything. I did this whole thing on the Vive, and it's like a shotgun of phobias to your face. And I'm just having a blast putting all these things together. And I had this prototype, and I'm like, I would just say like, hey, try this. And the reactions that I got from that were like, oh my God, because they broke my equipment. They ran into walls, screaming, jumping, falling. And I'm like, and everybody's watching like, oh my God. And I take it to events. And like even the first person to try it was my friend, Tanya Watson. She was one of the co-founders of Squanch Games. And she's with other studios too, of Bed Robot and all. And she and I worked some together at Epic Games. And she's like, she wanted to talk about VR. I'm like, yeah, you know, she knew what I was doing. She's like, hey, can we just chat about it? I'm like, sure. I'm like, can you please try my prototype? And she comes over. Yeah, sure. What is it? I'm like, it's about phobias. I didn't know that she had a fear of spiders. She didn't tell me. Oh my God. And like, I have that video too of like way back then. She was the first person to try it. And she was like screaming at the top of her lungs. And I'm like, oh wow, this is in something else. And I've had a lot since then of that. And, you know, over time, I, you know, like I said, people like would smash the equipment and they broke the controllers and they hit the headset and somebody literally ran into the drywall of my office at home. And then, it got to be to me, like, it was amazing to watch, but I'm thinking like, I was starting to have empathy because these people were going through things that were just so extreme. And I started turning people away. You know, I'd have people at events, and I remember this one time that I like to tell this one is like, I had a couple of people turn away, but this one guy, he was really tall, 6'6", I think. And I'm 6'2". And he comes up, it was at an event where I was showing it. And I'm a little like concerned because of the reactions people are having that were so extreme. And he's like, hey, and he was literally crying, like tears in his eyes, like dripping out almost, and shaking a bit. And he's like, hey, are there spiders in here? I'm like, yes, there are spiders in here. And I'm like, yes, there are. And I'm like, I can't let you play. He's like, why? I'm like, cause dude, I'm sorry. I you're so tall. And if you start running, which you saw people have been running, I can't get off your head. And I don't know if I don't want you to hurt yourself. I don't want you. And like, this equipment is not very, it's something I can easily get. So I apologize. But he's like, he was relieved. He's like, okay. You know, cause you know, he was pushing himself. And, from that, you know, I thought I need people, cause I would see people get in line. The amazing thing was people that I would see just that would like go ballistically, like just out of hand, like screaming and stuff. Fun to watch. They would jump out and they would come back in line to do it again. I'm like, wait a minute, why, you want to do this again? They're like, yeah, I gotta do this again. And I'm like, why? They're like, they want to challenge themselves. And then the other thing is, I'm like, okay. And it was like a serious thing for them, right? It was like an outlet. It was a way to, they saw that something stimulated them. They want to do it again. And then the other thing that I noticed is when people were playing, it was so intense. They would lift the headset up and they're like, and they put it back on like they're scuba diving or something, you know? And I'm like, they need to breathe. Okay. And so for me, I started thinking about ideas for them to, and a lot of people would say, nope. And that's the other thing too. People are like, nope, I'm not playing. Nope, nope, nope. And I'm like, I want to get them, you know, I know this is a, kind of like a touchy thing, you know, the psychology of it. And I want to get that nope turned around. I want them to challenge with the nope. So, you know, what I started doing is working at the breather space first. It wasn't a breather space. It was actually, this is just weird. It's not weird. It's funny. So I found out that the puppies that were used on Jimmy Fallon's puppy bowl that was really popular at the time, the breeder for those puppies was in North Carolina. And I had two guys that were local that Horizon Productions, Jason and Jason, they had one of the only like four in the world stereoscopic 3D Odyssey systems with GoPros, like one of those really advanced GoPro systems that captured stereoscopic video. And I called them up because we were doing stuff together and they were hardcore, you know, fans of VR2. And I'm like, hey guys, I got the breeder to agree to let me come there and shoot, you know, take footage of the puppies. And I'm like, so what I like to do is, can we use that camera? Go film the puppies and I'll put that in there. And then people, if they're freaking out, they can go look at the puppies. And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, like, I think that might be a good outlet with puppies. And they're like, yeah, let's do this. And I'm like, all right, cool. And I'm like, so we're getting ready to set up. And that's where it stopped for me. Cause it stopped because I had all these contracts that I was doing. I was helping out various companies. I was doing stuff with Autodesk, Epic Games. I had multiple companies and this was like something that was a hobby project. And I'm like, I gotta put it on the back burner. I can't do this right now. And then, you know, I did, I just let it sit for a bit. And then later on, you know, some clients brought me on to talk to some of their friends at, Oculus Meta and we're talking and, you know, I'm like, I have this idea, you know, and I did a little spin. I did a little design on it with the nope challenge and, the breather space. And I was talking to everybody about it and they're like, this sounds like something. I'm like, yeah. So I'm like, you know what? They were excited about it. I'm like, I'm going to kick this back in. So that's what I did. I was like, I want to make this game. I want to make it so that people have an out, but people have an in, you know, and then also I want to do the range of newbie that plays the game and extreme that has been around the block on VR and also is, you know, sensitive to, you know, that's sensitive, but not too sensitive. I want to really tap into that, to their lizard brains too. So I started at that approach first. And then as we go through, we're opening it more and more up. So it's more accessible. So like the future versions or the future patches, like the first thing that we have coming out is teleport because right now it's smooth. So we're going to do teleport and we're going to do pass and play features so that people can really get in it. And then there's mixed reality and everything. And I'm sorry, guys. I kept talking.
No, I'm loving hearing what, I mean, cause it's unique in itself. Not everyone makes a game or an experience that's, you know, for all intents and purposes, you're going to be challenging your fears. I mean, on paper, it's not a secret what you're getting into. And if you're up for that challenge, so it's just unique to me, fucking with people's psychological. Yeah. I have a fear of heights. I mean,
yeah,
I've skydived. It wasn't the end of the world, but I don't necessarily like to hang out on the edges of steep shit. And there was a couple instances with the skyscraper where because of the use of sound, like hearing the wind in I started to get the little wobbly legs for a second and actually like just paused for a moment and pushed myself against the building and was like, well, if this was really happening and I had to take this path to get out of here, I'd fucking die. There's no way I would move. I'm like looking around like, well, they could like helicopter me out if this was like really. So I'm able to do something I would never do in real life under, even to survive. I know.
Yeah.
There's no way I'd fall to you my death.
You freeze. Yeah.
100%. So I loved that I got that feeling and then was kind of sad that I have the VR legs that I have, because I know if I had tried this within 30 days of ever having VR, every one of those experiences probably would have hit me a lot more than they currently do. So it's going to be amazing to see how people really react to this, whether you have a phobia or not.
Yeah, it's been, and that's the other thing too. It's like a couple of things with that. It's like there's the phobia element of it. You know, it's like towards that serious psychological thing, but there's also the gameplay. It's got to be fun, right? And especially like even like kids get it. Kids that are like, this is like for 13 and older, but you know, every age is going to be playing this thing. Like they play all VR games, and what they have not all experienced as much of the life challenges to develop these phobias. So things are going to be scary for them, but not scary like somebody that's more developed and whatnot. So it's got to be fun as well. So there's certain elements in there that we try to make it so that at least it's in, you know, engaging and you're pushing through and all. But the thing you were talking about with the sound is, it's like one of the games I love is Cosmodread, and Cosmodread is like a hard type dungeon crawler type game, and it changed all. And the person, the developer on that, it's a small team, I think a couple people. His experience with sound and the spatial aspect of that sound really impacts how you can like, you know, build anxiety in a player or notify a player or just really influence them in certain ways. And that, like you were talking about the audio in the, for the heights levels, there was one sound that I wanted to put in there, but I didn't because I thought it might get too annoying. But when I grew up there, we'd have a flag on a pole, and as if it's flapping, there's always this like little metal part that's like ding, 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 ding on the pole. And I want to put that in there for some reason, because that's like a recognized sound that people have. And that's just like, it's like that flapping flag or the noise going through, you know, the construction equipment and stuff like that, the whistling noises and stuff. When you get up to a certain height, and I measured that height too, I measured the Empire State Building. It was like 102 stories, like their top. And I put it to be 104, you know, and then you have to keep climbing up. And it just, when I had it lower, you know, that just didn't feel as much when we first started doing it. I'm like, I didn't really measure it. So it was like 70 or 80 stories of like, yeah, that's cool. It's high. And I'm like, no, we gotta go higher, you know? And as you go higher, I want to have the sound build up too. And all those sound elements, they make you look, you know, they make you, you know, they do hit you. Audio is just as important as what you're seeing visually. And with the immersion of the 6 degrees, you could put it all around someone and just make them like Jesus, you know. It really has an impact and influence. So yeah, it's wild.
No, I had to keep telling myself dumb shit like, well, it's scaffolding, so someone came up here to build it. I had to just keep talking myself through it, but the whole time knowing damn well that I'm like, I wouldn't take the minute I learned I have to go up to get out. I'm like, this would never happen. This is not this is not for this guy. But I was able to complete it. And I actually I appreciate the climbing mechanics too, because for a new VR user, it's not, I had no like hand slippage climbing a ladder or holding a, you know, I've had other climbing instances where I've gone to grab something and clearly my hand is there, but it doesn't necessarily grab. So all the mechanics were spot on.
Nice. I appreciate that. And then, I think that the heights, like one of the hardest things too was, determining, like, people are like, how long is the gameplay? And I'm like, oh, that's a tough one, because the gameplay, I could speed run it and it would take me an hour or two. You know, it's like, you know, just going as fast again, because I tested so many times. Some people, if you do have a phobia, and we did it with the testing groups, it's like, we say it's around 3 to 6 hours, but some people like take a long time because they need to pace themselves, especially through the heights. And the heights are considered the ones you can get through the quickest. And people are like, well, they're just heights. The heights challenge extreme. I don't know if you did that one yet.
I did.
But yeah, so that one is where I had the most extreme response from someone. And that is basically like where they let go of themselves because it was so intense. And that was like, that was about a year ago when I was introducing what you saw. It's like something that brings your, takes your attention away from the heights. And instead it's some other terrifying element. And that was when I thought like, wow, this is pretty serious as far as what can happen. But that's, you know, your whole system locks up and, you know, certain bodily function, it just, it's, it can happen. And that was a surprise to me. But really what, when I was developing that, we were trying to figure out, like you said, the climbing, when you're climbing and then the heights, your face is like close to a surface. So you're not, people that climb, they won't look down, you know, that, you know, we, and I wanted people to look down. So I thought, all right, let's create some kind of threatening element that they would need to look down just to figure out how fast they need to climb to get away from that element. So we implemented that. And, you know, there's a part in the game or the part of that level where that threat leaves and now it's all about the heights, but you're at a certain point that you climbed. And the way that I try to bring attention is it makes you look down and all of a sudden, oh my God, I'm so somebody that has an extreme fear of heights. I, you know, I asked the one guy and this was at a convention. I was just showing it. And, the one guy came up, he's all excited to play the game. He's like, oh, it's a VR game. I'm like, yeah. I was like, you ever play VR before? He's like, I don't think he did. And I was like, are you afraid of anything? He's like, yeah, I'm afraid of heights. And I'm like, ooh. I'm like, all right, well, I think I'm trying something. It's at the extreme level and I'm trying something that will take your mind off the heights, but that's extreme too. And he's like, and he's all, yeah, you know, he's all pumped up. Let's do this. I'm like, okay. So I put it on him and, he's going and I didn't have it like casting at the time. So I had to like kind of listen in and try to figure out where he's at. And he's climbing. Like he saw that threat. He started climbing. I said, climbing like a squirrel and people climb on that thing fast. My son's 10. And when he first got into that, which was, he doesn't like that level. He's just, he climbed so fast. And I'm like, oh my God, you know? So this guy did the same thing and he's just like freaking out. But he's forgetting about the height. And what happens is the extreme element is that he's going away, he's going away, he's going away. And he's like, oh, he's like, it's not bothering me. And then I have a noise and it, something happened. He looked down and I'm waiting. I'm seeing like, what will happen? And he just stopped and he looked down and his body just started shaking like crazy. And I'm like, uh-oh, you know, I'm like, that's, and I'm like, I, you know, you just don't know. It's just like, maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. I go over and I'm like, dude, you know, I walk, got close to him. And that's the other thing too. You have to be careful about getting close because people might, swing or jump or run or whatever. So you're always trying to pay attention. And I'm like, dude, you okay? And he's like, he's screaming. He's like, no, no. And I'm like, okay, okay. I was like, he's like, what do you want me to take? He's like, I gotta go. And I'm like, you gotta go. He's like, yeah, I gotta go. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, oh no. So I took the headset off and he was covered in sweat and he, you know, he went and like, I felt bad. He waddled off and I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, that's it. But his body's reacting a certain way and like thinking like I was mortified, but at the same time, like it worked. It worked well. Worked too well. I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, that was something. And I'm like, that was crazy. And I'm like, okay. So we fine tune that and it doesn't work on everybody, but the people that have, you know, the extreme, some people, it just, that's why they should start with the light stuff. And even the heights light is still, as you played, it's extreme for some people, you know, the elevator going up, it's extreme. And the light with the spiders, you know, it's an exposure curve. It's purposely set to like kind of hold you and like be protective in a way. Like you see a line drawing, then you see a photo, then you see like a plushy toy kind of thing of a spider. And like those, for people that are not afraid of that, you know, it's fun. It's VR and you're getting acclimated for grabbing stuff and all. You're like, ah, but somebody, just saying the word spider or showing them a drawing of a spider and the anxiety that they have that knowing it's building makes them lose it. And that people are noping out at the spider drawing. And it's not something that anything wrong with them per se. It's just that they have this either hereditary or experience where that's just too much for them. But What they have, though, is with this game is they have the dials to go back in and maybe get to the drawing or get past the drawing to the photo and then get to the plushie and then get to one of our spiders, which has our AI. And he's a quick little dude that runs around. And like I see people are like, oh, you know, like and they grab it and they're like, ah, and they're just and that like their hair is raising, their heart's going, their eyes are dilated. And for them, that's like an opportunity for them to do it and put it in the terrarium and cool. And they'll go back and do that again to just bring that down, you know, try to bring that down. So I think it's a fun thing too, to, cause when that's happening, you get all kinds of hits on your system. You get dopamine. You know, that's why people like roller coasters. It's like, it's an exhilarating feeling. And it's also a sense of accomplishment if you can get past that. And, I won't call it therapy. It's entertainment, but some people might feel that that is something that it may help them, you know, and if it does, I'm just fantastic. And then you go to the moderate, and then the moderate of the spiders goes from a little bit of handholding, then it starts moving over into our AI where things get dynamic. And the dynamic part is I don't want it to rely on jump scares. We don't need to. It's your brain and what you fear. So when it gets into that moderate and then the extreme, especially with the spiders and the clowns, we've set it up so that they will do things with all these variables that will be different every time. And, you know, there's inspirations for the various, challenges that people are in, like, Dioko, who's, clown's challenge, you know, the clown's extreme challenge, he's inspired by Alien Isolation. And Alien Isolation on a 2D screen is terrifying. I don't know if you ever played that game. It's terrifying. And the way that they do that game, it's like this, no, you know, this, there's no mercy that the alien has when you play that game. And he's driven by what they call their AI director. So he has all these variables he's using. He's always knowing where you're at and he'll pop up behind you to just like attack. We do the same thing. Not on the level of like a whole company that's building all this AI, but enough that Dioko, he's a robotic clown and he wants to play with you, kill you. And he basically hunts you and he knows where you're at all the time. And we call it lurk mode. So you don't know where he's going to be. And you might see him pop his head around the corner. He's like, huh, you know, and you're like, oh shit. And then you run around the corner to see like, is he over there? And you see some confetti cause he disappeared. He's gone. And you're like, where is he? And then all of a sudden, poof, and you hear it back. He's like, ha ha. And he's like trying to hit you. And it's just like, so it's like terrifying. And it's just like, he's a clown. He's a robot. That's another thing as far as technology with people. It's dark. It's another phobia that people have. You can go into the crawl spaces and the closed space. Another phobia that people have. There may be spiders in there. Another phobia, you know, as we do cross the streams. So all those stacked elements make that extreme, extreme. And the other thing I do in that element, is it's kind of like, Among Us. And Among Us, when you're playing that game, there's little tasks that you have to do and like really low level tasks just to preoccupy, cognitively load you. So you're doing something and you're preoccupied. And I do that with various mild, like little tasks in the games that you play. While you're doing that, you don't know if Dioko is going to be behind you, slow whacking in your head. So it's just like that element. And then there's Mary. Mary's our marionette. And Mary's also, she comes to life, I guess you could say, in the extreme where you get in front of her and she's on stage and you'll see her and she's active now. And as you walk around, you're going to hear, hello, or you'll say, play with me. And you're like, where's that sound? And the audio, you hear that? You're like, what's going on? And you turn around. There she is like doing a pose. You're like, oh my God, you know? And then Dioka's coming around the corner. You're like, oh my God. So people are like bolting. That's where people are running into walls and jumping. I'm like, hold on, hold on. And it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's fun. It's funny to see people acting the way they act in these challenges. it's bonkers to see some of the things that people do. But yeah, it's fun.
Well, the clown one, I'm not scared of clowns at all, but to be put in like
a sketchy environment.
Well, well, and it's clearly sold to you as a fun house, right? Anything but fucking fun going in there. Because, and I agree with the not knowing where that clown is. Occasionally seeing him, But he's calling out that he wants to play.
Taunting you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then having to do the tasks. I actually, when I did the first task, I was like, well, from a developer standpoint, they must know that when the game or whatever task you're doing is being performed, they're certainly not going to let a clown attack me, right?
It's right?
So that's what I'm telling myself, because you're right. Your back is turned.
Yeah.
And you could easily, but I'm like, no, they wouldn't do that, would they? But you can hear that freaking clown. So there was never a feeling of feeling safe anywhere. Even if I was hiding, I was like, well, that's great. If it walked by, you know, it's going to walk by again. So I found myself hiding in different locations until I could try to wait out where I really thought he was, because, or it was, because I honestly had no clue. But the overall, and again, the use of sound, the darkness, but it's not too dark where it's pitch black. You can clearly see, but yeah, being hunted by a clown was not my best feeling of life. It really wasn't.
Yeah. All right. Stephanie Browse, she was doing, she does the social, but she was also doing some QA. And I was like, hey, you got to get familiar with it. That's the other thing too. It's like things I forgot. It took her a month to get to the, cause she's so fearful of clowns. And she talked to me. She's like, Joe, she's like, I was having nightmares. I was having, you know, she was having a real, real struggle. And then she finally, she's like, I started with the light and I got, you know, I met, Phil. Phil's the other clown. He's in the moderate and he's blind. So, you know, the experience with him is you have to get kind of close to him in certain ways. And he's a little more trigger happy too, with sound. Like, he's so sensitive. And she was screaming like the whole time, cause she's in a share space and here she is playing. Everybody's got Stephanie just like screaming like nonstop, like, and she's laughing and screaming. And she loves Dioka. She loves Phil. She loves Mary. And then it's like that experience for her, you know, it's something that, she really enjoys. And you can go back and the experience is a little different each time because of the way that the AI is and the way that he pops up and you're not sure where he'll be. And, even me, like I go into test and the spiders and the clowns, and also the heights with extreme. I'm always like, you know, you just can't, it's just like, where is he? Cause if I'm trying to like do a win scenario to test the game, I'm literally like trying to survive cause I don't know where he's going to pop up. And then you got Mary, she freaks me out more than Dioka sometimes. And then like, you know, doing all these things and trying to tweak that, it was wild. And that's the thing too. Like after we release it, we're going to see where things are at. Cause we do have, we even have him go into like sleep states and it looks like a bug where he'll just sit there and you're like, okay. And what he does too, is he pumps out balloons. So I don't know if you noticed, but when he's walking around, balloons pop out of him. And that's so you know where Dioka was at. But the problem is you'll go out and interact with the balloon. If you pop that balloon, he knows where you're at and he'll come right back at you. And if you fail in the game or like some of the things that you're doing, he knows that you're like, he might come up to you while you're playing. But if you fail the simple game that it is, it starts blaring a horn. It's just like, no, shut up. You know, you're going to alert Dioka. It's like, it's wild. And we had a lot of fun, doing those challenges and just making them to be the way that they are right now. It's got some depth to it. So we're pretty excited about people playing it and showing their videos and screaming and all.
Well, the clown is not stupid either. Cause it opened the door. And
yeah.
I was like, again, silly me for thinking from not being the developer. I'm like, well, I'm sure they didn't make it so it can open a fucking, you got to press a button, right, to open the door. So I'm waiting on the other side of the door. And then I'm like, no freaking way. Did not
then
expect
he could get
it.
The title. Yeah, then he could get the crawl space and crawl out. And he's pretty alert. And then with Phil, the reason why, like Dioko is called Dioko because in Greek it's to be chased. So we made up the word, the phobia, Diokophobia, which is not a real phobia. but we like the idea of Dioko and he's terrifying. We have plans with him with certain modes. And then Phil is named Phil because of philophobia. And philophobia is the fear of getting close to someone or falling in love. But for him, like the background of the robots is that they are... they're demilitarized robots that have turned into clowns and they've seen action. Now, Phil, or Dioko, is more of like the program has set in and he's acting like a kind of like a clown. He's dressed as a clown, but he's a robot that's a killing machine and he's just wants to play with it, but he's trying to kill you. Whereas Phil, his program didn't take, and I'm giving away some of the story, but his program didn't take. And he also, his eyes were damaged because the battles he's been in. So you have to pluck those eyes out. And because there's a part shortage, he's going around blind. So now you have to use techniques of distracting him. And he was, of course, inspired by Jeff from Half-Life Alyx. Like, I remember playing that. I'm like, that was amazing. Because he's like the zombie in Half-Life Alyx that's blind. And I loved how I watched their, you know, how they did that. And I'm like, we got to put that in there. And that's the thing too. It's like these phobias, there's not one game type that you could do for that fits all. So we did like a lane of gameplay that's befitting to the clowns and the robots. We did a lane that's befitting to the heights. And then we did one that's for the spiders. And then you have the breather space, which is its whole different like area of things. So there's tons of mechanics and tons of depth. And a lot of people are like, oh, it's like, you know, you guys are saying it's like, it's Richie's Plank. I'm like, I love Richie's Plank. It's a great experience. And, it does some of the same things where it quickly goes, but this goes much further beyond that with, the various gameplay elements. And it does a lot of these things on various ranges and it's really going to be wild. I love seeing people play it. I love seeing the reactions. I love seeing how they cope with the reactions and deal and challenge themselves. And, you know, it's really rewarding to watch that happen and see that cycle go through. And we're going to tweak all the dials, mixed reality, multiplayer, all that stuff. So we're going to see how this goes. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Now I got to ask, you know, you say mixed reality, maybe multiplayer. Do you all have a post-release roadmap, I should say, of things that you want to bring?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like right now, everything is in the air because we're a super small team. I have two guys have been with me from the beginning, Remco and Noah. And then I have Steph and then I have Travis and there's other people. Like the team is myself and then others that it's really an indie project. So the team's tight, team small. And, you know, I've worked and managed teams that have like, you know, a couple hundred people. When you're like this, you can speedboat to one feature to another, which has been great, especially with VR. And we have the various things that we're looking at and balancing because the holidays are coming up. We are working on the various things you just mentioned, like mixed reality, because we're using Unreal Engine. There's Unreal Engine 5, and then there's multiplayer, and there's things there that there's so many things that we want to do, but what I'm trying to figure out is what's going to be the best for keeping on the same vein of tapping into people's these phobias and you know, tapping into their lizard brains in that way. Mixed reality is a really good one because not because it's like the hyped up, like that's the next thing, but what mixed reality does as a feature is that it removes a lot of the things that might be uncomfortable. Like, you know, traversing or stuff like that. I think it removes a lot of things that might make people a little uneasy in VR. And it brings you into a safe environment that you're familiar with. And it lets you integrate elements into that environment rather than you being fully immersed and not being, you know, it's just various, a different way of playing with people. But what's cool about that element is that now I can invade that space. So like you could imagine these two doors behind me, doors open up and then you have two clowns coming in and just like, Jesus God, you know, and then spiders dropping down on you. And then maybe the ocean just starts swelling into the room and all that. It's just, to me, the box that you're sitting in and playing in, no matter what the box, I want to get inside that box and I want to have fun and manipulate and change it and all that. But then their multiplayer is also the social aspect of this is it's grand. There's so many things. People are afraid of everything, but I want to keep it that people have this way of being able to control it for themselves, you know, being able to have the nope and being able to, you know, retreat in their own way and breathe and relax and surf this whole phobia mechanic, I guess you could say, that, and challenge themselves. So, I'm trying to figure out what's the best way to do it. So the multiplayer is how you can tease and challenge each other, you know? So, and then there's expanding on the ones that people are going to love and enjoy, you know, and creating new ones like snakes and doing things with the ocean and doing things with everything. There's so many things. And I've cut so many things, not cut, I backlogged so many things that we had on this project because I just wanted to get things done. So to answer your question, lots of plans, nothing concrete, nothing to announce, but you can see where my head's going and you'll see the features that we have in the game. And we have a lot of tools that we could do to continue poking people, you know, as far as this is concerned. So I'm excited. I'm excited as far as like where it's going to go next. You know, it's going to be wild.
Well, I definitely think it's going to be an exciting launch.
I think think a lot of people are going to grab it to have in their library for when they have, even if they have, you know, the VR legs or they played through it, they'll
it's
have
a great
it.
Party game. Too.
Exactly. You, know, you cast it on the TV.
The headset. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. I think I've been seeing the comments because they said Nexon Quest, they had this as part of the Nexon Quest line. I think it was released yesterday. And now I'm reading the comments. What I love is people are saying, oh, this is going to be great for people that are new to VR. I'm like, awesome. They don't realize it. That people that are not new to VR, they're going to get into it. And it's that discovery for those that are like, holy crap, you know, like I didn't expect my heart to pound out of my chest like that. You know, it's a minefield of triggers that it's not this scripted thing that happens. It's like, this gets a little mental and it plays with, you know, your heightened fear of things. And, you know, it's going to be fun to see the range of both new and veteran to see what the reactions are, and it's going to be wild. It's going to be really wild. I'm excited about it for sure.
I anticipate lots of viral videos, to say the least.
I'm hoping that it does well enough that we see the introduction of new phobias.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and until there's literally a library, till it's reached the point that. You may say you don't have a phobia.
What's your phobia? Water?
But
swimming?
On the fear of drowning or burning is
fire.
It's pretty
Here's one.
Fire's a big one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like there. It is limitless, but you will eventually hit a phobia that people, there's no way. Smorgasbord of fears.
Yeah.
One of them's going to strike a nerve in even the most hardened person.
Yeah, that's what happened with one of the guys that worked on Assassin's Creed with the VR. Because I live in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I have friends that are all in the game development. He's one of the developers, and he's a true veteran. And he was watching it. We had a Oak City Games. We had this indie event, and I was showing the game there, and I was casting it. And he's watching. He's like, "Guys, like, you were talking about how you do the hands and stuff, just developer talk." He's like, "Yeah, I'm not really afraid, you know, of spiders. I'm not really afraid." I'm like, "All right, cool. You know, he's got his VR legs." So it was his turn. He's playing and he's like, yeah, he's like, you know, and you could see him flinching a bit because he was doing the spiders challenge, the extreme one. And then he's playing. And I like doing it when they say like, I'm not afraid. I'm like, okay, you know, go ahead, play. So he's in there, he's flinching. And then all of a sudden he just screamed, like, oh my God. And I was laughing because I was, you know, I went back to him. I was like, what got you? And he's like, the holes. Because holes is a trypophobia, and it's not even a real phobia. It's starting to get recognized by psychologists as far as with that. But the holes is what happens to your hand. If you get bit by a spider, you get a rash, and that rash is a bunch of holes. And you have to get a needle in there quick to, or you'll die. And he saw that, and that he's like, man, he's like, I saw that. My chest, my heart just blew through my chest. He's like, that freaks me out. I'm like, gotcha. This is like. Cause he was all confident and he was smiling, he was laughing. And that's what I want because, you know, it gives a platform that you can actually play with those things. But if you need to relax, you need to step out, you know, nope out. And, it's wild. And that's why I say it's like leading with these headliners with the clowns, you know, the heights and then the spiders. That's not all that's in there. And if you go into the breather space, there's the trophy island. What I did was, and this was fun, my son Aiden, he and I researched all the phobias and went in depth. And on the kiosk, there's a list of all the phobias that are currently in the game. And I put in there, you know, basically the symptoms, and I put in there fun facts because that gives a little bit of an educational element. Because if you do have these phobias, it's good to understand a little bit more about what it is. And that information, any information helps you kind of like get past that, or it helps you cope with it, or it helps you understand it more. And it'll help you mentally get with those phobias a little bit better. And it's just fun for people to, they go in there and they start exploring and scrolling through, like, oh, I have that. I might have that. I don't know if I have that. Where is that? You know, I don't tell them where it's at, but it's in there, you know? So it's like, that's cool. But like you said, people are afraid of it. Like the ocean, there's so much to do with the ocean that I'd love to, there's so many things that it's so much fun, that whole expanse with thalassophobia, and then like fire and, you know, just pushing the boundaries of not just the phobias, but the tech to deliver those things with the various headsets. It's wild. It's so cool. But you gotta have that ability to nope out though. You know, you have to have so people can surf it, you know? So it's wild. It's really, really cool.
I do love those trophies too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you like them?
Yeah. Well, cool. Cause I mean, I'm like, you know, man, it's one thing to just do something and say you did it. It's another thing to be like, oh, I can get achievements.
Yeah.
You know, I
yeah.
can have something to show for my, and it's yeah. not like there's three trophy spots up there. There's multiple rows of them. So
yeah, there's multiple rows. And that's a thing too. It's like the achievements are important. And I think we can even, we've been talking about ways that we can even increase those achievements, because getting to that level of accomplishing that, especially with somebody that has those phobias, it's good to have like a pat, like you did good, you know, and people feel good about it themselves. And it's going to be rewarding too, to see like how people do those things. Because another thing that happens is if people know their relatives or their friends, and they know that they have, you know, these certain phobias. So one of the things that's cool is people that do like at the VR legs or their experience, they'll play the extreme. The person watching it will be like, ah, that's too intense. Nope. That's what has happened at GDC. And I would go after the people who would say nope. And I'd be like, look, I built this for you. I mean, like I built it for that person, but this person, like you can step into this and you can, you have outs. And they're like, they'll listen then. Cause I'm not just doing it so that you can scream your head off and have people laugh at you while you scream your head off. You can like have a little eh, if you want first and then nope out and then go back. But those people are the ones that are interesting to see them push themselves. They usually push themselves more than the other people that are like, ah, this is just a game. But the people that are extreme now want that person to come along with them to enjoy the extreme. So we'll help them say like, look, try this. So they're like our messengers, you know, just conveying like, come on in, you can do this and do the, you know, breather space. So it's fun. It's really, really fun. It's rewarding to see those things happen with the social, not just laughing at it, but you could do this, you know, hit the nope button. Like where that guy, where everybody, the whole crowd was like, everybody saying you can use the nope button. Everybody was felt empathy for him and saying like, hey, maybe you should do that. And that guy who never did VR before and was screaming and sweating, he's like, no, I'm staying in. And I was like, wow, that's wild. You know, that's really, really wild. He was freaking out. It's so cool to see that stuff. So. Yeah, you can see I get excited.
Understandable. It's your baby. It's your project. Yeah,
it is. And it's hitting the store.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hitting the store.
April 25th,
1999. Yeah, 1999. That's the thing too. It's like we recently had again some people trying to I got them in on it and they've been playing it, and it just seeing their reactions has been so far remarkable. Just to see like how they react, and then the people comment. Now you start seeing people comment. They're like, I love watching you do it, but I can't do it myself. And I want to go in and be like, no, you can
start slow. You can.
Yeah. Start slow, you know? And that's a thing too, with the messaging and all, the sexy part is like seeing people scream, the fun part. But I also want to go in with trying to explain to people, there's a door for you, you know, there's a door. And it's like your safe space. And then, and Mr. Peels, who you saw, he's like your emotional support too. He's our emotional support banana. And, he's like, your Wilson, like Tom Hanks had his Wilson volleyball. He's like that for when you're in a breather space. And we saw that just yesterday or this week with one of the guys that went in. He noped out of the spiders, and, he was having a hard time, but he was laughing his ass off. And he went to the breather space and he picked up Mr. Peels. Like, Mr. Peels, I feel like I failed. You know, he's talking to the banana. And Mr. Peels is just looking at him with the glasses on, like his mouth opens up. And he's like, puts him back in his little his chair with the umbrella, and he's like, I got to go back in there. And I'm like, and he's walked over to the edge of the platform in the breather space, and he's literally going, he's like, I'm just going to look at this. I'm just going to breathe. I'm just take some breaths. And he's like, I'm just, and he's reflecting. He's like, I'm going to do it. Mr. Peels, I'm going to do it. It was awesome. I'm like, that's it. It's the loop, you know? So yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'm hoping that people enjoy it for sure. It's neat.
Now, if I were betting, I'm thinking it's going to do very well.
Yeah. Like I said,
yeah, I hope so. I mean, like I said, if GDC was what I got, I'd be happy with that. Mm-hmm. And this showing these things, just people's reactions. It, like you said, it is my baby. It's like a creative thing, but it's also, I'm trying to make it so people can feel that feeling, but safely feel that feeling. You know what I mean? It's like, whereas before people just like, you know, just look at him freak out. Look at him freak out. They're terrorized, you know, and they're like, F this. I'm not going to do this thing again. But now they, you know, they'll be like, I'll do that again. There's nope, you know? So that's the fun of it, you know?
Essential to have in your library, like I said, just to have for when you have people over.
It'll be a long-term one too. It won't be like a short little burst and then the novelty's over. It's going to be like a continued, hey, have you tried this yet?
Yep. Yep. You have friends over, you cast to the TV, you go, well, what's your
social media is probably going to be the most organic marketing too. Cause it'll just be people posting.
I think discovery too, because what's neat is that, just like I said, Don with Upload VR, he did a really nice article where he let me talk about the game a bit. What he expected and what happened, what actually the game was. He's like, you know, there's a lot of depth here. There's a lot of gamification. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, you know, we want to make it as entertaining as possible. And I'm like, and it was, and that's the same thing. I said, I couldn't just do one thing, or I didn't want to do the like the light level stuff of like, you know, I really thought about how to make it so that, you know, there could be enough gameplay that it's entertaining, that people are smiling. And I referenced a lot of different games like a Cosmodread, Alien Isolation, Half-Life Alyx. There's even games that, like Carnival VR was a PS VR game, PlayStation VR. And one of the things that was in Carnival VR that people liked, where you could do all these things like in the carnival and stuff, there was a climbing sequence in that one and everybody really enjoyed it. It was just one skit. And I'm like, that I saw it and I didn't even play it, but I could see how everybody really enjoyed it. And I'm like, well, we got to do that. We got to do. Yeah. It's like those little tidbit elements that, you know, could actually let me entertain them, but also push them into that, you know, that phobia element and then, you know, have them entertained, had them kind of play around with the phobia and then have them still come out. And, this thing has been, so feature creep prone. I've done a lot of games in my past and, you know, there's always like, wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be cool? And the team is just like, Joe, shut up. You know, cause I'm like, wouldn't it be cool, guys? And I tell even clients, I'm like, don't do that. But now I'm like, I'm in the seat going like, wouldn't it be cool if we, it's cause we had roller coasters in the system that we took out. I had a bopper clown that you bop him. And as you bop him, his face changes and then he turns into an actual clown that chases you. I had, we had all kinds of elements with, you know, things in the breather space. There's all these things that we really want to do, but I had to kind of get it into the box, something that our small team could create and just put the baseline out there for people to like start with. And then we'll be like, all right, we even have like with the clowns, we developed this one clown. And, I didn't want to have a human element in there too much. I thought it was a little too creepy, a little too horrific. So we have this one dude that's a dad bod dude that has his tidy whities on with his face paint. He's bald and he runs around. He's terrifying. He's really terrifying. And we have a smaller clown, a little clown that he's got the boxing gloves. And, you know, he just, when he pops out, like, when the guys unleashed him on me, I didn't know it. And he was in there and he acts just like Dioko. He finds you. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, it's just like, and I'm like, okay, that could be cool too. So, but it's a balance of, and we have spiders that may or may not jump on your face. That's a tricky one. You know, and then just like so many levers and so many features that, We're going to have a lot of fun with this for some time to come. And we're going to get a lot of responses from people. And we're going to see what really works well and what doesn't. And just keep adjusting. You know, it's going to be fun, this one. So I'm excited about it.
Well, anyone listening, and they clearly won't be able to deny the passion and the enthusiasm mm-hmm. for yeah. your project. So that speaks volumes alone in the fear yeah. that consumers can sometimes have that something yeah. might be a one and done, or it might be. So it's good to know that without even anything in stone, there's a long-term path to the Nope Challenge. But I would encourage everyone to give it a shot and see just what you're really made of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
absolutely.
Appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
It's
Sunday that we're recording this. This episode's dropping on Wednesday, the day before the
right before. Day oh, great. Before release.
Cool. Yeah. I appreciate it. And, I got clips and all that I could share with you guys if to help out, but I'm excited about it. It was really fun to talk. You know, there's so many elements of this I could talk about that I've gone the rabbit hole down with what happens with your brain, what happens with phobias, each phobia, what happens there, and all the game mechanics and the serious element, the gaming element, VR, mixed reality. You know, there's so much stuff to talk about, and I could go on and on, but I'm just happy to see people enjoying the box that we finally created that goes out, and we can keep expanding from there. So I just can't wait. It'll be fun.
Definitely want to have Joe on again.
Yeah, maybe six months from now or something.
Once the dust settles and everyone high five, absolutely. But I want to delve into some of his past career.
Absolutely.
I just don't want to take any focus away from the Nope Challenge today, but I made some studio notes of
25 years in the game industry.
Yeah, it's gonna be like the front lines, Battlefield, Desert Combat. I did a game for NASA that won an award, NASA Moonbase Alpha, which was a funny one. And then I've done a lot of things I've worked on things that have to deal with nuclear weapons or nuclear power plants. You know, I just people with women in labor. I like a lot of different, just crazy but cool projects. And but this Nope Challenge with this is the entertainment part. And I'm happy that it's finally getting out there. It'll be cool to touch base with you guys, and we can sit back and look at the videos and just, that's one thing that we're talking about. Then we're just going to have reaction to reaction videos where I could talk about, you know, maybe what some things are going through with these people that are playing. Cause I think that would be fun to do. Just some commentary and all. So that would be neat too.
We'll definitely have to have you back on, you know, like cool. So maybe 6 months, you know, gives the dust to settle, see what comes next, see the reception, watch it go crazy on the social medias, and we'll go from there.
That'd be great.
Great stuff. To the listeners, like we said, you know, this is one that it's worth having on your library for your own phobias. Also, show your friends.
Gaming quiver.
Yeah. Cast it to your team. To your TV. It's a great party game as well.
Awesome.
So great stuff, Joe. You know,
thank you.
Really fun stuff. To the listeners, if you enjoy this episode, obviously check out Nope Challenge, and be sure, you know, subscribe, rate us 5 stars, and we'll check you out next week. Ciao, ciao.
Awesome.